World of Truth, program number 628. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Christ, South 5th and Highland in Abilene, Texas, assisted by sister congregations and interested individuals, now brings you a Herald of Truth.
Behind my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Behind my life in the depths of his love. Uncovers me there with his hand. Uncovers me there with his hand.
Today, George W. Bailey has a message for young people. And since young people quite naturally select models by which to fashion their lives, Mr. Bailey will discuss a model of superlative worth. Many young people are finding their models for behavior in the unchaste and profligate lives of certain notorious entertainment and political figures. This is a dangerous tendency. Therefore, Mr. Bailey presents a young man who retained his faith and virtue in the face of exceedingly difficult situations and temptations. The key to self-mastery is presented in God's holy word. There is a solution to every spiritual and physical problem. In a moment, you will hear a message designed especially for the youth of our land, a model for young people. And now, here is Mr. Bailey speaking on the subject, A Model for Young People.
In the 11th verse of 3 John, we have these words: Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. If we would be of God, do good, and follow that which is good, we need to select the best model we can find. In the Bible, God has pictured some great men. One of the greatest is Joseph. Every young person would do well to let Joseph pose as their model. The more we read about Joseph, the more we admire this man. Pharaoh once said about him, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" With the exception of Christ, I wonder where you would find such a person as Joseph. Never was a story portrayed on the screen or told in a book more thrilling than the story of Joseph. His experiences were varied. His circumstances took him from one extreme to another. One moment, he is petted by a partial father. The next moment, He is sold into slavery by his envious brothers. Circumstance-wise, he has been brought from the top to the bottom. But even in slavery, we see him rise to the top again. He is then falsely accused and thrown into prison. Once again, he's on the bottom. But from that prison, he emerges to become the Prime Minister of Egypt. What a variety of experiences this man had. But though his circumstances changed, his character never changed. Can you find such a one as this? What an example of great living. What a model to pattern a life by. Let us observe just what an example he can be to young people today. Can we find in Joseph's home life that which is good to follow? I suppose that Christianity is lived less at home than anywhere else in the world. Let us observe Joseph's behavior in the home. What kind of a child was he? How did he regard his parents? Was he obedient? What kind of an example was he in the home? Joseph seemed to have the utmost regard for his parents. He seemed to be very obedient. It is in the home life's foundation is laid. It is in the home attitudes are formed and character is shaped. To end upright, we must start outright. And the place to start outright is the home. The home is the boot camp for life's basic training. And so much depends on that training. When in the home there is a lack of respect for parents, something is wrong. Joseph had that respect and seemed willing to do whatever his father asked him to do. There were times when he might have questioned his father, but there is no indication of it. His father once asked him to go to Shechem to see how his brothers were getting along with the flocks they were tending. Knowing how jealous his brothers were of him, he could have rebelled and offered all kinds of excuses, but he didn't do that. His father had asked him to go, and he was willing to do it. Joseph never seemed to question his father's wisdom. He probably never entertained the thought that his father might be asking too much of him. He loved his father and believed in his father. He shouldered whatever responsibility his father placed upon him, for he believed his father knew best. What an example! Didn't the Lord say, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right"? Didn't he also say, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise? Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. God has always taught children to obey parents. Disobedience to parents is classed among the worst of evils, and children must realize that they can be lost for this. I beg of you to let Joseph become your model in the love and respect you ought to have for your parents. Joseph is an example in withstanding life's tests. Life has its tests, and some of them aren't easy to meet. Difficulties will arise, and if we aren't careful, we'll be upset by them. Joseph, like all others, had his problems to wrestle with. When we see how he handled these problems, we're constrained to ask the same question Pharaoh asked. Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? Joseph was tested by being envied. Joseph's father was partial to him and had made him a coat of many colors. This caused his brothers to be envious of him. And here is a real test. Have you ever been envied by someone else? Have you ever occupied the spotlight that someone else wanted to occupy? Some would have become vain through it, but not Joseph. He seemed to have conducted himself in the very best possible manner. He was able to withstand this real test. Next, he was tested by being mistreated. Envy will seek to get rid of the object of its envy. This is what happened in the case at hand. Parental partiality brought on brotherly hatred. Genesis 37, 3 and 4. This hatred caused Joseph's brothers to think of killing him. When the occasion arose, instead, they stripped him of his coat of many colors, cast him into an empty pit without water, and later they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who in turn sold him to Potiphar. What mistreatment this boy endured! This was a real test. But there seemed to be no animosity on his part. He relied completely upon God and was able to withstand this test. Next, he was tested by being sent away from home. This very young boy was taken all the way to Egypt, many miles from home. No doubt he became homesick. Life seemed so cruel to him. How would he react away from home? Would he become cynical and soured on life? Would he give up trying to be good anymore? No, for Joseph was of sterling character. Circumstances could change, but not his character. What he was in Jacob's house, he was in Potiphar's house. What he was at home, he was on the throne. What he was in prison, he was in the palace. Joseph never sacrificed principle for popularity, nor faith for favor. Joseph was also tested by temptation. Time came when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. He was away from home. Would anyone there know the difference if he yielded to this temptation? Many a boy away from home has fallen under such circumstances, but not Joseph. When he was tempted, he answered, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Genesis 39:10. He fled from the temptress, for his purity was at stake. He would not dare sacrifice that. What an example this boy is. Joseph was tested by being falsely accused. When Joseph refused to yield to the temptress, she was insulted and tried to get even with him. She tried to turn the blame on Joseph and called unto the men of the house and said that Joseph had tried to tempt her. This was a false accusation. But the men believed her report and put Joseph in prison. What a bad break this was. How painful it is to be falsely accused. The odds were against him. But Joseph turned those odds into opportunities. Joseph was tested through the forgetfulness of another. While in prison, he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. According to his interpretation, the butler was released from prison, but the chief baker was to be put to death. Joseph asked the butler to remember him when he was set free, but the butler forgot Joseph. Have you ever been forgotten? If so, you can understand the unpleasantness that could well lead to retaliation. This was not so in Joseph's case. He showed no resentment, no bitterness. He was able to withstand this test. Joseph was tested by success. He was finally released from prison. God enabled him to interpret dreams, and through these interpretations, he was able to rise again. God's providence was at work. Through the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams, Joseph had told of a 7-year famine that would follow 7 years of plenty. In view of that, Joseph suggested to Pharaoh that someone be appointed to take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty, that they might have it when the famine came. The Bible says, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Joseph was selected for this position. He became the prime minister of Egypt. What an honor! Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh then took off his ring and put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and he put a gold chain about his neck. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." The Bible says Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. What a position for a man of 30. He was next to Pharaoh. He had authority, prosperity, honor, popularity, fame. These can be real tests. Some will let authority go to their heads. Some cannot stand prosperity. Some will let honor make a fool of them. But this was not true in Joseph's case. With all of these at his command, he exemplified true humility and great godliness. What an example. Joseph was also an example of trustworthiness. There were times when the odds were against him, but there were times when he seemed to get the right breaks. How do you account for these so-called breaks? For instance, even as a slave boy, he was given charge of Potiphar's house. Why? After he was falsely accused and placed in prison, he was later given charge of all other prisoners. Why? One of the greatest breaks of all was when he was promoted to become Prime Minister of Egypt. How did this happen? There must be a reason. Things don't just happen. Someone has to make them happen. In Joseph's case, it wasn't luck, coincidence, or just breaks, but it was Joseph's trustworthiness that made all of these things possible. He could always be depended on, and God saw to it that that quality would not go unnoticed. There were times when one might question whether or not it really paid for Joseph to remain holy and pure. It seemed so unfair that his cruel brother should go free while he remained in slavery. It seemed so unfair that his evil temptress could live in luxury while he had to stay in prison. But the Bible says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord." Romans 8:28. Joseph loved the Lord, and all things did work together for his good. The prison became a springboard that landed him in the prime minister's seat. The ladder that led down into the dungeon led up to the throne. Beloved, it always pays to remain holy and pure. Every shadow points to light, and the shadows across Joseph's path pointed to great light. Joseph was also an example of forgiveness. He was 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. The 7 years of plenty had passed, and 2 years of the famine before he became known to his brethren. This means that 22 years had passed since Joseph had been so unmercifully mistreated by his brothers. Time came when these same boys had to come to Egypt to buy corn and had to reckon with Joseph, whom they had formerly mistreated. At last, he was made known to them. No doubt they had wondered many times what had happened to him. The famine had come, and they must now bow before Joseph, the prime minister. Now that they and Joseph were made known to each other, how would Joseph react? What would be his feeling toward them? Would he try to get even? No doubt their consciences had smitten them numerous times for their mistreatment of him. Joseph now has every advantage over them, and he could now make them pay for their mistreatment. But instead of retaliating, Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Genesis 50:19-20. With Joseph, there was no grudge, no retaliation, no resentment. How forgiving he was. Let me mention that truth crushed to earth will rise again. Joseph's brothers were sent back to their father to tell him that Joseph was still alive and that provision had been made for him and his family to move to Egypt to be with Joseph. The real truth concerning what happened to Joseph had for 22 years been crushed to earth, but at last it rose again. Be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23. The sins of Joseph's brothers did find them out, and our sins will find us out. We cannot hide from God. That being the case, we are told, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Ecclesiastes 12:1. Joseph remembered his Creator in the days of his youth, and he was greatly rewarded for it. As Joseph looked back upon his life, don't you know that he was happy that he had always been faithful to God? Through the years, he had been an example in obedience to parents, an example in withstanding life's tests, an example in purity, an example in trustworthiness, an example in forgiveness. And this man could go to his grave with no remorse. May that be true in your case. While Joseph is an example to you, may you be an example to others as God asks you to do, 1 Timothy 4:12. To do so, you will need to become a Christian. May I beg of you to do it early in life. You must have faith in God. Repent of your sins. Confess His name before men. Be buried with Him by baptism for the remission of sins. You must then live a faithful, devoted Christian life. May I appeal to all young people to seek the Lord early in life and to follow Him faithfully, as did Joseph.
If you would like a copy of today's inspiring sermon for a young person of your acquaintance, we suggest you write at once and request a copy of program number 628. It's important that you specify program number 628. And when you write, one simple sentence could start you off on a valuable study series. Here is the sentence. Enroll me in a free Bible course. Yes, this request will enable you to add to your store of Bible knowledge. And as you know, the Bible is the one book that points the way from earth to heaven. As always, E.R. Harper, noted Bible scholar and long a featured speaker on this program, will give your questions his personal attention. Please address all correspondence to Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. That's Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas. This has been A Herald of Truth, presented under the direction of Highland Church of Christ, Abilene, Texas, and supported by Churches of Christ and interested individuals from around the world. This is Robert Holton, inviting you to listen next week when George W. Bailey will speak on the subject, Are You Bound to Do It?